Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for August 25th, 2024 is based on Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and this is the third sermon in our Level Up Discipleship Edition sermon series. This sermon is entitled, Invite.
A reading from Romans. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the one who invites us all to God's table of grace and forgiveness. Amen. As we've been exploring over the last couple of weeks, and will continue to explore over the next couple of weeks, we are leaving those predetermined lectionary readings that are assigned for a particular Sunday, and instead we are engaging in a sermon series based on discipleship, which is the practice of us growing as disciples of Christ. The series is called Level Up, as you see in the graphic there, and we will explore seven practices that help us grow in our discipleship. Today, we look at the practice of invite, or invitation. I'm going to start off by asking you a question that I would like for you to discuss with those around you. The question is, how has being a Christian made a difference in your life? Now, there are no right or wrong answers to this question, so feel free to be honest and vulnerable. Over the next couple of minutes, I want you to turn to someone nearby and briefly share your answer to this question. How has being a Christian made a difference in your life? Take a couple minutes to discuss. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I hope you've had an opportunity to share that story of how being a Christian has maybe made a difference in your lives. The answers that I've heard throughout today and also on our Wednesday morning Bible study point to the fact that most people who come to church have had a mostly or profoundly positive experience of being a Christian. There's something in the life of being a disciple of Christ that you have found worthwhile and life-changing. Maybe it's grace or forgiveness, a moral code, community, love, acceptance. The list goes on and on. And if we have found this thing that is so wonderful in our lives, why shouldn't we want to share it with everyone we meet? In the document Principles for Worship, the churchwide expression of the ELCA, which is kind of our larger church body, says the following. God's story is powerful. It changes people's lives. It's a story of hope and salvation. But what does that mean? The good news is that God loves the whole world and each of us individually. Because of that great love, God did not leave us defenseless to deal with our own sin, the sin of others, or the power of death. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have been made whole. We have been forgiven of our sins, and we have been promised eternal life with God. That means we are not captive to the destructive forces of the world. This good news has eternal impact. It changes lives and communities everywhere, and it changes your life as well. Paul realized this same thing and shares it in his letter to the church in Rome. He says in this Romans reading that Brandon read, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are people supposed to hear that good news? He goes on to say, "But how are they called on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim it? And how are they to proclaim him unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We who already believe are tasked with going out and sharing the good news that in God we all receive grace, forgiveness, and love. To tie it to our level up theme in video game parlance, let me put it this way. I would liken it to a game that you really enjoy playing. And when you find that game, we often want to share it with others. We want other people to participate with us in the game because typically we are stronger together. Sometimes you even join a faction or a guild so that you can communicate and support one another within the game. We can also benefit one another by participating together. During COVID or before, how many people have ever sent you a request to join Candy Crush? Because if you're both playing the game together, you can help one another out in your mission. The good news is something that we should be shouting from the mountaintops and telling to everyone we meet. But often we don't. Quite often we keep the good news to ourselves and we're afraid at times to share it. Why? Because sharing about our faith can be difficult and scary. I posed the following question on Facebook this week. Why can sharing our faith be or seem so difficult? Tell me if any of these answers that people gave resonate with you. Fear of judgment from others. Fear of offending someone. Fear of not having the perfect answer. Fear of saying something wrong. Fear of being labeled a religious nut. Fear of not having the answers to tough questions, like, why do bad things happen to good people? Fear of being too vulnerable and then being hurt. These are all valid fears that come with the sharing of our faith. But the good news is we don't have to be perfect in that sharing. We don't even have to have the perfect words. Because we are not the ones that are responsible for making people believe. We have been called to share the love of Jesus with those we meet. And then it's the Holy Spirit that does the work of nurturing that seed until the person's faith is ignited and they desire to know more about God. Words of witness and acts of genuine hospitality directed towards our friends, relatives, and neighbors, create the opportunity through which the Holy Spirit brings others into relationship with Christ and the church. One of the best examples of this, of not always having the right words and the Holy Spirit doing the work for us, comes from my own experience as a pastor. There are some Sundays where I think I have written the best sermon of my life. And after the service, no one mentions a thing about the sermon. Or I might even hear from my trusted feedback person who I happen to live with, you've had better. And on the flip side, there are some Sundays when I think I have a complete dud of a sermon that I am embarrassed to stand up in front of you with. And after the sermon, multiple people come up to me and tell me how much my sermon touched their lives that week. And then there are the times where I believe that I have a very clear and precise message that I want people to grasp in my sermon. But after the service, someone tells me that what they got out of the sermon and what inspired them was the exact opposite of what I hoped my message had been. These are all real situations. And as a pastor, I have to share the words boldly that I believe God is calling me to share, and then I have to let it go and just see what happens. When I'm here and giving a sermon, I am merely inviting you into a conversation with God's word. And once that seed is planted, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in your lives that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I have to be okay with that. And we have to be okay with that when we share the good news of Jesus' love with others. And so, what are some of the ways that we can level up in this practice of invitation this week and beyond? We'll list these out on our social media and in our newsletter, so if you want to practice more throughout the week, you can. But here are some ways that you might be able to practice invitation this week. You could join the witness team here at church. It is their job to spread to the community and to the people here that news that they are loved. They often do booths of free crafts for kids out in the community, like at the Feast and Folly coming up in September or Lebanon Oktoberfest in October, and you can volunteer in those booths. You could invite someone to church if you feel so bold. You can invite someone back to church that you haven't seen in a while. You can be a listening ear to show God's love. You can visit neighbors and friends when they're sick or hospitalized. You can find creative ways to help your neighbors in need, like mowing grass or picking up groceries. You can model your faith to family and friends. You can find ways to help others reflect on the blessings in their lives. You can model Christian behavior when you attend your child's sporting events. You can speak up against injustice, evil, and verbal assaults when you hear them taking place. As you walk through your day, you could scatter blessings, knowing that some will take root and grow. And just even when you pass someone on the street, look them in the eyes, maybe give them a smile, and perhaps a greeting. It's in the practice of invitation that we find ways to show God's love, and that we then hope the Holy Spirit will use to spark their inquiry about faith in God. Sharing one's faith does involve conversations with friends and relatives and colleagues and neighbors about the presence and importance of Christ in our lives. But if you're still working up to that, sharing faith also means living in a way that our lifestyle, actions, and words reflect the one whose name we bear. Christians. Little Christs. We, the disciples of God's church here and now, plant the seeds in invitation, and then the Holy Spirit works the miracle of faith.
I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.